Thank you for coming. This is going to be a forum, which means it's an open discussion. It's a time for people to say what they feel. The topic tonight is church and state. There has been a good deal about the interaction between church and state in the news lately, so we should have quite a bit to talk about. There are a few ground rules about forums at Holden. One is we don't really imagine that by the end of the hour we will have solved this problem, that we will all come to great agreement and be able to write a position paper that we then send to someone. So part of the beauty of Holden is that we can each have an opinion, and we can still be a community with opinions that are in disagreement with one another. We encourage you to say, when you speak about what you believe or feel and think, I believe this, I think this, I feel this. So that is more welcoming to other people who have other opinions. And try not to be the dominating voice in the discussion. Make sure that you listen as much as you speak. Paul Johnson.
Hoffman, how about
Hoffman?
Hoffman,
yeah. Paul Hoffman.
Yes, Dorothy, that's correct.
I'm Dorothy Hamill.
You're every bit as lovely.
We could just sit here and discuss one another, but he's going to lead us off, Paul is, on a kind of get some things going. So he'll give us some ideas and some food for thought, and it will be to that which we will begin discussing.
The press is having a field day on this issue. Almost every magazine you pick up indicates that we're having more mix of politics and religion in 1984 than we've had before. Maybe that's a press exaggeration, or maybe it's a fact. In the president's 1984 State of the Union speech, it contained 10 references to God, and God was mentioned 24 times in his election year address to the National Association of Religious Broadcasters. Just a couple of issues that may get things going. I think one that we ought to consider perhaps is this a Christian nation? Should the constitutional separation of church and state affect the mix or blending of the two during a national election? And to what extent should the church or its agents involve themselves in a political debate? Is the Jerry Falwell, Jimmy Swaggart support for Ronald Reagan of a different quality than the support for candidates by religious leaders in previous elections? What about other related issues of school prayer and access and so forth? One other issue that I think we'll probably want to discuss is the issue of civil religion. And that is, in a very simple form, the blending or mix of the cross of Christ with the stars and stripes. To what extent should those be mixed, and how appropriate is that mix in a national political year? Those are just a few thoughts I had. I just jotted down hurriedly to get a discussion going. School prayer, access to public schools, those are hot issues, and there are a lot of collateral social issues that are affected by this debate. Okay?
It's fine, Jim.
I don't respond to that.
Well, I'll start off. If we're discussing it from the United States of America perspective, then we go first to the Constitution. And does not the Constitution say there will be no establishment affecting religion? And if we're going to be holding to that, then what does that mean? That is the question. What does that mean? What are the limits?
Can I read it to you so we don't have any misunderstanding about the wording? I think your paraphrase is fairly good. The Constitution says very, very little about this, and for all the Supreme Court decisions that we've had and all the layers of interpretation, it all comes from these few words. And the words are in the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights to the United States Constitution, reading as follows: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It's in the same paragraph with the following very short language on other but related issues, and it reads as follows: or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's the whole First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Yes.
I think maybe it might be well to remind ourselves a little bit of the background of the framers of the Constitution at that time. The primary reason, I think, for that the inclusion of that statement was the Church of England, which was government supported, that is, the government actually pays the upkeep of the church, if I'm not mistaken. And any other church body had to fend for itself. I think this was what they meant by an established religion. Does that clarify a little bit? Or does that provide a starting point for what we think of an established religion?
I think that's true of England. It's true of other countries.
Yeah.
There are a number of others.
It's all through Europe.
And particularly the Seventh-day Adventists and others who are sort of perhaps on the fringe are very, very sensitive to this, because they feel that they would be the first ones to be persecuted and have difficulty if this weren't vigorously enforced.
I think that's a little bit different from sometimes the modern interpretation is that the government shall have absolutely nothing to do with religion.
On the other hand, let's remember two of the colonies that formed the little United States at that time. One was Pennsylvania, and William Penn was having one heck of a time in earlier days getting freedom to practice religion of his type, which wasn't the Church of England.
Yeah.
Now, I can't quite remember the name of that, Baltimore, Maryland, the Catholic establishment of freedom there. So it wasn't all the Church of England. They were all trying to get along, and they were saying, hey, I want to be free. So let's have no one interfering with my freedom to have my own religion.
No, what I meant by the reason for it was the Church of England was that they did not want the practice as it was done in England. In many of the colonies, Rhode Island, the Massachusetts Bay Colony was founded by people who were being persecuted and driven out of England. A good many of the colonies were victims of the Church of England, you might say, or of the established church.
Mm-hmm. I believe a foot in the door right now that they're trying to get through is this prayer in the classroom. And I believe as a sensitive teacher, as any sensitive teacher, that they would all be against that. If you talk to any educators, everyone I've talked to has been dead set against it.
You see why?
Because if it did give the child a choice not to pray, how can you tell a six-year-old everyone in the class is going to pray, and if you don't choose to pray, you may walk out, or you don't have to do it? Peer group is too overpowering. They wouldn't do it.
Is part of what you're saying that you think the supporters of established prayer in the school, that is government getting a foot into the door of the church, or the church getting a foot in the door of public school?
The church getting a foot into the door of government.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else?
Yeah.
He was before.
I'm a retired teacher, and I feel that I have no memory of ever having prayer growing up in school in Montana. in the years in the state of Washington, we never had prayers. And I have been unable to understand why such a big fuss sometimes.
Because not everyone prays to... Not everyone's a Christian.
I'm not in favor of it. I haven't been able to see why it would make much difference. There is lots of moral teaching in school. It has been all along. I have not been able to see why prayer at the beginning of the morning was that essential.
Oh, John?
Yeah, I think there are certain areas of the country that prayer before classroom has been the norm for a long time, or was the norm. Maybe they're stressing this for those people. I'm thinking of the Bible Belt down in the South. It's a very, very, very hot issue down there. For us out west, where that hasn't been the norm, then it seems almost illogical, at least to me it seems illogical, to have prayer in school when they never have been in the past.
If we want to have prayer in school, go to the private religious schools. Go to a Quaker school, go to a Lutheran school, go to a Catholic school. But it has no place, I agree with you. The public school would be mush.
So maybe where they're directing their aim then is to where in the past that was the case. Because isn't that, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that where the whole issue came about? Was because in the South, Louisiana, Mississippi, some state, they had prayer in the schools and they brought it to court. Somebody brought it to court. And that, hence, they ended up after that.
Mm-hmm. How could you ever write a prayer that would satisfy all the different groups in the country?
You know, I haven't been asked to do that. I couldn't do it.
Well, I would feel that Christian parents would not want their children to have prayer in a classroom where a teacher has no commitment of any kind. I feel like the children are learning perhaps wrong attitudes with
a teacher at school. I'm much more worried about the quote materialistic meanings in the television, which I don't know if it's more effective than teachers. Some people would think it may be, but that's in our living room. And I think it's our task as parents to equip them for living out in the world. We're going to be bouncing up against atheism and every other kind of ism in the world soon.
Dan.
It's maybe hard to talk about this subject without talking about civil religion. That no matter what the Constitution says, I think, or as I see it, the spirit of our nation from the beginning has been one of God being part of our nation, the word God. And to use the word God in government has never been unconstitutional. It's been very much a part of our, along with that, a sense of what's sometimes called manifest destiny, that somehow God chose this nation and this nation has a purpose under God, and that somehow God is, that easily moves, that God is on the side of this nation. I think we have a president now that is a master at using civil religion, but also I think he's sincere, as I see it, I think he sincerely believes that civil religion, that God is somehow on the side of this country. You get that from sayings about Soviet Union being the evil in this world, the defense of the military buildup somehow being the defending of the good. And then the use of, just in Old Testament times, the use of court prophets that would say God agrees with what the government is doing, the bringing in now of the Farwells, is that right? I don't watch TV yet. And others who give the religious justification for what this country is doing. I think, I hope you see I'm saying I think. This is my opinion. I think that underneath the move for prayer in the public school is a desire to get God back behind the United States. And I wish I could quote the speech from President Reagan where he came very close to saying this, that because the nation left God, God was leaving the nation. And that's why we were floundering under the Democrats. And now,
good Old Testament theology.
But now that we are back on course, pushing towards prayer in the public school, returning to morality, again, God is turning to side with the United States, which again means that we can win wars like in Grenada. You know, because again, we see that God is moving on our side. And I worry about the school prayer thing if it isn't a mood of magical religion. You know, if we can get children all over the country praying to God, then God again is going to back up this nation. And the most dangerous aspect about that is to see ourselves as good on God's side. The other side, the Soviet Union, is evil on the devil's side. Because then you move easily from there to the holy war and the justification of wiping out the enemy in the name of God. And then the civil religion provides just the justification for whatever. And that's what I fear in a lot of the talk about religion, that it's civil religion that can have both good and bad aspects, but can easily move towards what could be demonic. That's a bunch of I think.
Yeah.
On the question of religion and the school, I know in some schools now, they encourage groups to have meetings in the school outside of classroom hours. But in some schools they say, well, if it's a religious group, if they're meeting for a Bible study, some of the students want to gather for a Bible study, that is not allowed because that would be introducing religion into the school. How does this group feel about that?
That's the law now.
Yeah, it's the law.
Has it?
Yeah. They made it equal access law or amendment or whatever it was, so that any group whatsoever, religious included, could come in after school and meet on public property.
Okay, well apparently, did that arise because of this particular problem?
You bet.
Okay, well I'm out of date then. Okay.
Well, yeah. Actually, that was Don Bonker. Wasn't he the one that sponsored that bill? He's legislator from the state.
In that one instance, long overdue. Think about it. If the 4-H clubs could use the schools after hours, if the Boy Scouts could, if the Eagles could, the Shrine could, why in heaven's name couldn't the Luther League?
Because that also allows the Mormons to move in.
But Luther League has their church. The Boy Scouts don't. Boy Scouts have our church.
Right, but they've been using the church for
a long time. Wouldn't have made that
point.
Anyone else?
I'd just like to ask the question, if others feel the whole move towards morality and prayer in the public schools, is the civil religion trying to get God on our side? Is it a kind of magical religion? I'm curious if I'm the only one. Thanks.
I would affirm you.
I'm not too sure that I totally disagree with you, but I think there's another factor involved, which you brought out. What was it, 19? Okay, Al Smith was not elected president because he was a Roman Catholic. John F. Kennedy darn near wasn't elected president because he was a Roman Catholic.
Do you remember what the connection was?
What the connection was that a person was not elected president of these United States unless he was a WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Anything else was an infiltration of a foreign influence, particularly in the case of a Catholic. It was the influence of the Pope, you know, and. But this was a very effective political tool in those decades, and maybe this prayer issue and so forth is as you say, being used by politicians simply as a very cynical tool.
There is a person behind you with your hand up.
Yeah, I guess I see there is a need, though, to answer the fundamental concern behind the people who are a whole broad range of different particular actions. They're pushing prayer in schools, support for parochial schools, a variety of different measures. And I think we, if we feel differently than them on specific issues, have to come up with a way of answering their underlying problem with our society, is that we forced them to express themselves in a lot of ways in civic religion or in no religion because we won't publicly deal with particular beliefs. You notice this in so many areas, whether the schools or in literature or movies or whatever. You can't use symbols from Christianity or Islam. We've just sort of secularized all of society. And I think then people who have a genuine feeling that they need something are forced to come up with these sort of halfway answers, like school and the prayer or something, because they see the whole society as pervasively saying, you can believe whatever you want, but don't say anything about it. And, you know, there's a lot of different causes for that, but I don't know how we can answer that need for them to be able to express what they believe and have it really represented in their culture.
Is your statement really a criticism then levied against the church? Or against the Christian community?
Well, I think the Christian community, well, the different religious groups have allowed themselves to you know, sort of fade out into the background. It's partially their fault. It's just the entire culture, which is just sort of gray on moral issues and religion. And you're rapidly chopped off if you start trying to go past that in wherever.
I would raise the question, since when has society been secularized? When did that happen? Was there ever a time when it wasn't?
Yeah, I would. The thing that makes me comment on this is that I've been doing a lot of reading in the last few years with an eye on what the world view or what the perspective of the people writing is. And it's just a fraction of modern literature that even any place in it accepts the premise that there is a God. It's a very unusual book when you run into the fact that whether in the background or in the foreground, that there is some role for religion. Where when you read the literature of anything before the 17, 1800s, that's very strong. The literature may be about a secular subject, but you can see that there's something behind it.
There's one little thing. During that time, the only education was a clerical education, a church education.
Yeah.
So the only people writing were the products of that.
And would you like to have the church dictate what science shall be?
No, but I think
it was back then.
I think what just looking at the literature side of it, 70-80% of the American population is not really Christian. And yet I would guess you wouldn't find more than 3-4% of even fiction that even accepts the premise that Christianity is valid. We've just mashed it down, so you can't even bring that in. And in politics, I think there has to be a very clear separation. But what I think a lot of these people are reacting against is that the separation has been forced in a lot of areas of life, other than just the political process. In my opinion.
I don't know if I can say this clearly, but I have a great fear of the religious people that are becoming politically active, like Falwell, that type of religion seems to be the fastest growing in the United States. Am I right? The
It was for a while, and there's been an ebb. I don't know. It is stabilized.
Good. But I mean, they're meeting a lot of needs, agreed, in their churches. But they're the ones that are speaking out, that are telling us right from wrong. And I find that type of religion frightening, almost like Nazi Germany. I mean, that's what I relate it to. Drawing the line.
Because it's... Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Is there anyone else who hasn't spoken who wants to speak?
Just a comment on often we do think of religion having to meet certain needs. You know, Hitler did meet a lot of needs of the people. And I think sometimes we elevate that as a category that justifies whatever is being promoted, just because it meets certain needs.
Yes, you're free to speak. Do you want to speak?
That's all right.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just was trying to...
No, okay.
I know in our school, at least just for several years ago, there was curses and witchcraft. And I think that's just as dangerous as having prayer in the schools. That's also religion, isn't it?
In the public school?
No, in the high school.
We had it in the community college in our area.
So, as a teacher, whether there's a law or not, doesn't she, in a way, impart to the student some idea that she has without breaking the law or without the government knowing it? And my daughter's a teacher in South St. Paul. And she says whenever she gets a chance, she puts a little religion into the teaching. And before it's been a law or anything, she's never been recommended for it. But I think that in all the teachers that we have, that there's a lot of ideas given to children that are either lawful or unlawful.
She gives both sides of that illusion. She thinks that if you stay one way, then you have to go the other way. Creation and evolution, which is balance.
Maybe I was wrong when I was pushing so hard to get the Narnia series into our primary school library. You know, the Narnia series is definitely Christian propaganda.
That was in the school library.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's not teaching us. That's not teaching us.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just making a comment to be smart.
Raises a good issue because libraries are at issue, and that's another question. Do you make the full range of things available in the library and a public school? Elmer?
I guess I'm still not sure. What do we want from our government? I think I agree with Rich that there certainly are people who are using civil religion for all kinds of purposes, maybe political, election-type purposes, or get power in their church groups or whatever else it may be. But I do think there's a longing for the people, and if you don't mind for a moment, I'd like to talk about other than white, who long for morality in the land, who would like to have their children protected from being raped, who would like to not have to carry guns, as the people at the church I attend in Chicago had to do, to be protected. Now, they're not trying to set up a manifest destiny nation. They're just looking for, if you don't mind the phrase, law and order so they can walk on the streets. And they don't believe that you can anymore. And I think they look to the government, as indeed the Lutheran confessions do, for civic morality, which is an express teaching of the Lutheran Church, that things ought to be done in accord with moral standards in the land. And see, I think that we ought, in our rush, and I think I would be at the forefront, in a rush to attack those who are using it, as you know, part of setting our nation up as the world's most marvelous thing, to attack that, that we don't lose the sense that a lot of people, at least in my opinion, a lot of people, who would like to see something good happening, again, in a useful use of the word morality, to be a more of a moral nation, not a perfect, but a moving towards a moral nation. I mean, I don't know if I'm twisting you, Rich, but so I'm not trying to get you in here, but if I heard you saying that, that's what I...
Yeah, in the literature I've read, there's a distinction in civil religion between prophetic civil religion and that which is kind of priestly. The prophetic, those would be Martin Luther King, perhaps, and Abraham Lincoln, who probably wasn't even a Christian, but in his stand on slavery and on the idea that this nation should not be split apart.